Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. It was what? Full of bones. Full meanings a lot, plenty. Bones, verse 2. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. How dry? Very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I'll make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says, Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Verse 11, he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we're cut off. Therefore prophesy to them. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Come on, lay hands on your own heart and pray right now. God, we lay hands upon our own heart and know that it's not intellectual understanding that brings dead bones to come to life. It's the power of your spirit and your anointing. So Holy Spirit, come upon us as a company of people and speak with clarity to us. I pray once again, as you moved in power in the first service, you'll move in power in this service. Anoint these lips of clay. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, use me to write indelibly upon the hearts of your people. Let the gifts be in operation. May we never be the same. Move us forward, God, even as you have a plan to make us a vast army of the Lord in the earth. Do it, I pray this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Can you say a big amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, Can these bones live? Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, Oh, yes, they can. Come on, oh, yes, they can. No notes for you this morning, but I have a few. Minister Tommy, would you grab my pulpit for me? Thanks. This is a powerful word, and I've preached from this text many, many times over. I and my brothers on the front row. It's good to see you, Chris. I don't know if you remember, but I remember I used to sing a song when I was a kid called, I didn't know the name of it, but it's called Dem Bones. Everybody say Dem Bones. One of the verses, is toe bones connected to the foot bones connected to the, anybody remember it? I know there's some doctors here. We know there's no foot bone. There's many bones, quite a few toes too, phalanges. Toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the leg bone. Hear the word of the Lord. Raise your hand if you know that. I know it's from a bygone generation, but I guess we're bygone. It's old song, quartet song. And I looked up a couple different renditions to it and was going to play you one, but anyway, I decided not to. I decided against it. It comes from this text of Scripture. We were in Israel over a year ago. Gosh, I've been three times, so I get a little chronology of all that gets a little turned around. We'll be going to Israel again. Bless you. Next November, bless you again and your husband and all of your children. We'll be going to Israel again, and we'll let you know about that. It's Israel and Italy, I believe, joint trip there. And so as soon as those details, I hope to have that for you in the next couple of weeks so that you can plan. It'll be next November by the grace of God, Lord willing. God's plan to be done there. So we went, and on one of those trips, we went to a place called Masada. Wave a hand at me if you know what Masada is. Masada is a stronghold in the Judean desert. And I had never been there before. We went there. God bless you and your marriage. Amen. I don't think I blame. So we went to Masada. And while we were there, Pastor Karen and I, we were moved. I mean, it was moving. A lot of people don't like going to Masada because it's a horrible tragedy. The Jews retreated there to fight against Rome. And what the tragedy is they all killed themselves instead of be captured. And suicide is a wicked sin for not only for Jews, for anybody. It's self-murder. And we won't go too far into that. I'm just so glad that God is merciful. Come on, someone say God's merciful. But you can't go and off yourself and expect that you're going to heaven. So let me just take care of that. If you thought that might be a solution to your problems, you have no promise of heaven. And that's when I said, well, what about uncle or brother or my next door neighbor? God is merciful also. And that's all I'll say about that. So thankful that he is. So it's a horrible stain, really, that they all took their lives. But they resisted Rome, who was evil. And they were in that place. There was a synagogue in Masada. And in Masada, they found a number of scrolls in that synagogue. And I stood there in a synagogue. It was found in 1964, 1965 by a famous archaeologist. You know what's amazing about the Bible you hold in your hands or on your device or whatever? You know what's amazing? It's backed up by findings. It's backed up by archaeology. In other words, that particular cult where the gold glasses are, it was only in the 1800s. They can't find the glasses. Now, I don't know about you. I have a hard time finding my glasses, but I promise you, if there were gold, I wouldn't lose them. Gold glass. Anyway, some of you might not follow what I'm saying right there, but see, this whole thing is backed by archaeology. You can bet your life on it. They're still discovering things that are blowing people's minds. Like, geez, maybe the Bible is true. Yeah, it is true. It's the word of the Lord. And a part of those scrolls they found at Masada was Ezekiel 37. And so as I stood there in Masada, I read Ezekiel 37, and it's beautiful because you look out over this Judean wilderness and you realize that God actually performed Ezekiel 37, that Israel was brought back, even though there's a time of exile, the Babylonian exile, 586 to 538 BC. You'll see that on the screen right now as soon as the media guys put it up. There it is. They're in exile, and they felt like their hope was, they felt like they were in graves. Has anybody felt like, oh, we're dead? We're just totally dead. What can we do? I remember first giving my heart to Jesus, and I had a helicopter ride shortly thereafter. This guy, friend from the church, said, you need to come with me. I fix helicopters. You come in, you can get a ride in a helicopter. I'm like, sweet. We get in the helicopter, and we're over these sugarcane fields. And the whole thing starts shaking to pieces. The seasoned veteran from the Vietnam War was the pilot, and he is cursing like, I don't think I've ever heard anybody curse like that. And he's just, oh, God, oh, and we're just, blah, 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 and we're just spiraling out of control, and we're going to crash in a sugarcane field. And the mechanic's in the front seat, and I'm in the back. And I just thought, I'm going to heaven. Woo! We landed real hard, but here I am. They were filled with despair. They were filled with discouragement. They had been brought into exile again, 586 to 538 BC. And it's in that place that Ezekiel who is a priest and a prophet. He's brought into exile. And it wasn't his sin. It was the sin of those who, his forefathers that sinned. And he's a byproduct of that. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple laid in ruins. The people were scattered. Hint, hint. Media guy. And hopeless. Wake up back there. They were hopeless. Has anybody ever felt like that? You're just like, I don't know. There's no hope. There is always hope. There's always hope. It doesn't matter what you're going through. If you get a hold of the word of the Lord, he can cause your toe bone to connect to your foot bone, even if it looks like it's been separated. So Ezekiel received supernatural revelation. And it's by this form of a vision, the hand of the Lord comes upon him. You'll see this hand of the Lord. Look at this text now. Closer look. The hand of the Lord was on Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 8 through 11, you see this phrase, the hand of the Lord. You see it in Kings. You see it in a number of different places. You'll see Samson in the book of Judges, and the hand of the Lord came upon Samson. The hand of the Lord is a phrase that really, it's really about supernatural power, supernatural guidance, supernatural ability coming from heaven. How many of you know what that's like? You said the hand of the Lord has come upon you at times. It's a powerful thing. And the Lord God allows Ezekiel to see from his perspective, from God's perspective, not a natural battlefield, but a spiritual condition. And I said this in the first service, I'll say it here. That which you see in your external circumstance is closely linked to your spiritual condition. There is fruit, root and fruit causes. In other words, if you see someone with an anger problem, there's a root to that. You see somebody that's bitter, somebody that's miserable, there's root and fruit. So you can, anybody ever seen someone, don't raise your hand, you ever see an alcoholic that's no longer drinking, but shoot, they might as well be. You don't know what I'm talking about? They're mean. It's like they're nicer when they're drunk. They're mean. They're angry. It's called a dry drunk. It's somebody who's no longer drinking, but they still are like in this heavy bondage. It's because they were drinking for reasons. It sedated themselves. They sedated themselves from the deep wounds and hurts and fears and all of that, and the things that happened to them when they were in their home or when they were a little kid or whatever. There's a whole long line of reasons, and I understand that. But God can set you free. The reason that Israel was in bondage is because of reasons. Sin. A spiritual condition. And so, God allows Ezekiel to see from his perspective, not just a natural battlefield, but a spiritual condition, dead, hopeless, and scattered. The dry bones represent the house of Israel. And we know that because it says it in the text. These are my people. Dry bones represent the house of Israel in exile, spiritually dead. And I love what happens here. Ezekiel is this priest. He's approximately 30 years old. He's a prophet, and yet God walks him through the bones, which is unusual because priests, prophets, they weren't allowed to be among the dead. And you can see that in Numbers. You see that in Deuteronomy. It's considered unclean, considered defiled, and yet he walks them through. And it's like he's surveying. Look at all the bones. They're very dry. Everybody say very dry. Very dry is a picture of time. In other words, they've been on the surface of the ground for a long time. As a Jew, if your bones were left on top of the ground, it's a picture of, I mean, come on, can you imagine if your grandfather passes and you just leave his bones on, like, really, it's not only against the law, you have to bury him. Why would you bury him? It's what we do. It's honoring, and we have funerals and celebrations of life, and people get buried, or sometimes they get cremated too, but in this case, they're just left there. In other words, they're slain. Come on, anybody in the military? Anybody in the military before? You bring your dead brothers and sisters off the field. You don't leave them there. And they bury them. So for them not to be buried, it's a picture of the curse. It's a picture of judgment. They're there a long time, very dry. And that is the condition of Israel. And so he walks up and down, surveys all the bones, which is fascinating to me. Some of you need to walk up and down the bones of your life and survey them. Why would I do that? Because you want to find out actually why they're there. What do you mean? I'm saying it's good to look at your generations and find out your daddy had that particular bondage and you're struggling with it. You need to kill that thing. He said, well, there's no, I can't, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. The bones, can those bones live? He says. You might come from a long line of brokenness, a long line of divorce. You might come from a long line of perversion. My God, I don't know what you've come out of. I just know this, that you can change things by the power of the word of the Lord. You can change, you can shift. He can take out the heart of stone and put in the heart of flesh. You do not have to stay broken. It's not God's will for you to stay broken. It's God's will for you to be healed. It's God's will for you to be set free. It's God's will for you to no longer be in bondage to pornography, no longer to be filled with greed and anger and lust. Come on, somebody say amen. And it's good to take a look. If you see reoccurring cycles of captivity in your life that you feel hopeless about, that's the Lord would ask you this question. Can these bones live? And the answer, which he answers like a politician, you know. But the answer emphatically is yes. Can I ever come out of poverty? Yes. Can I ever have a healthy marriage? Yes. Can my kids serve God? Yes. Can I walk in the blessing of God? Yes. Can I be healed? Yes. I mean, just fill in any other dead thing. What dead thing do you have in your life? You can be healed. And if you allow for the evidence of the dead bones in your life to work in you a hopelessness, and you end up impotent and realizing that in change, like you have no power to change that. That's true. In your natural ability, you have no power. But the power of the Spirit of God can change you. And the word of the Lord can change you. You can be changed. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, you can be changed. Can these bones live? Someone say yes. Wow. Come on, somebody say wow. One of the key words here is this spirit or ruah. In 14 verses, which we read, the word is used 10 times. In verse 1, verse 14, it's spirit. In verse 5, 6, 8, and 10, it's breath. In verse 9, it's wind. It reminds me of Genesis 2 and verse 7, and God breathed into Adam. So he made man, but he's still not alive. It's a picture of creation. It's a picture of the power of the Holy Spirit. He breathed into Adam. He became a living human being. God can breathe into you today and change you. Right now, he could breathe into you. One of the things that's amazing to me is the fact that I am important in the economy of the kingdom of God. Now, that might sound arrogant because I did say I know that to be true. Here's what I also know to be true that you might not know. You are important in the economy of the kingdom of God. What do you mean by that? If God was going to raise up a family that would walk out of idol making and do something for him, he had to find an Abraham who would hear him. If God was going to gather a man, a preacher of righteousness, a Noah, if he was going to gather a Noah and save the righteous in the earth, all 11 of them. Is it 11? It's not 11. I'm getting mixed up with Abraham. Ham, Shem, Jephthah. I don't know. Ask Pastor Tim. He'll tell you. Is it 8? So he had to build a boat. He never built a boat. Didn't even know what a boat was. An ark. It had never rained. He had to find a Noah. He had to find an Abraham. He had to find a Noah. He had to find a Moses. He had to find a Joshua. He had to find an apostle Paul. He had to find somebody to flow through. And that is the way that God works. And when he wants to turn a family around, he finds someone who will believe him. Someone who will say, yeah, we might have come from a curse. We might be broken, but we ain't going to be broken anymore. I might have come from a long line of divorce, but divorce ain't ever coming to the Bracken family again. Never again. I will never be divorced. You will never be divorced. That's not happening in my family ever again. And I've taken a stance against these dry bones in my own life. I want you to do the same thing. You've got to push back against the assignment of the enemy. I've shared this story many times, but it's just, well, it's like mind-blowing. Colton Wickamore Rotney is an apostolic leader from Sri Lanka. He writes about in his book, God speaking to him that he would meet this person. Her name is Sally Savior. So everywhere he goes, he's preaching, is Sally Savior, he'd be in a group like this, is Sally Savior here? Just in case, is Sally Savior here? And nobody would raise their hand. Even at a men's conference, is Sally Savior here? In 1977, it would have been very strange for Sally as a man to raise her hand, but not today. But that's changing. What was I saying? He gets on a plane to fly back to Sri Lanka, and it's a full, but his row is empty, and he's like, thank God. I've got no one next to me. Anybody thank God when there's no one next to you on the plane? You're like, no, I want a witness. Good for you. I don't want a witness on airplanes. I just want to mind my own. I just stay away from me. I witness all kinds of other places. I'm just not into it on airplanes unless I just get forced to it by the Lord. But so his seat's empty. And he's like, oh, and then just somebody comes up and says, hi, I'd like to sit at the window. And he was irritated. So he's like, is that your seat? Can I see your ticket? And the person says, I'm Sally Savior. He's like, oh. So Sally Savior sits next to the seat. And for the whole ride all the way across the water, he hears about his life, why certain things happened. He talks to him about the future of what he wanted to do, of what God wanted to do in his life and all the churches he would build. And he just put all these missing pieces together for him. And then a part of that speaks to him and says, God's method is a man. God's method is a man. And he understood that to mean that if he would believe the word of the Lord and move forward, that God would use him to touch Sri Lanka and touch the earth. And God has. Go look him up. It's amazing. It's an amazing story. Still alive, I believe. My Journey of Faith is a book that he wrote. Powerful. God wants to touch you. Why would he use Ezekiel? Come on, God the Lord, and just look at the dry bones and just say, and why pick an Ezekiel? Why say, okay, prophesy, Zeke. Hey, Zeke, prophesy. Zeke's short for Ezekiel. Prophesy. Why would God use him? Because God's method is a man. Why doesn't God just do it himself? Because that's not the way he does it. He co-labors. So he looks for somebody who would believe him. He looks for somebody that would lay hold of the promise. He looks for somebody who wouldn't shrink back as some of the habit of doing unto destruction. He looks for someone who will believe the word of the Lord, who will be fully persuaded. And Abraham was fully persuaded. Even though looking at his life, he was past the years and his wife was beyond being able to give birth, yet he was fully persuaded and convinced that God was able to do it. And then it was accredited unto him as righteousness, and God brought forth Isaac. If you can't believe God's going to use you, then he's going to use someone else. And I've shared this before, but I think we might have been getting prideful. Pastor Karen helps me with that. She's like, you need to check your attitude. I'm like, okay, maybe you need to check yours. You really need to check your attitude now. Thank God for a godly spouse who's willing to get up in your grill. Well, the Lord spoke to me and said, son, yes, God, you weren't my first choice. Praise the Lord. I mean, what do you say to that? Awesome. You're not my first choice. It was a way of the Lord saying, you're not my first choice. In other words, make sure you stay close. Make sure you walk with me. Make sure you abide. Make sure, because I can use anybody. You really, you know, I mean, I love you. You're special. You're special because I'm with you. But if you're apart from me, you can do zip. Some people think they're like, they're just the greatest thing walking in shoe leather. God is the one that'll make America great. God is the one that'll use you in greatness, and you got to give him all the glory and all the praise. He didn't have to use Zeke. He could have used anybody else, but he chose Ezekiel, and Ezekiel obeyed the command, and he prophesied. If you will let God use you to prophesy and speak life over the dead things, over the dead bones, and be submitted one to another in love, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, be braided in to his presence, his word, and accountability, and you'll see dry bones live. I'm telling you, God is sending an awakening to America. But he's going to awaken the church first. Come on, somebody, lift your hands to heaven and say, I'm important in the economy of God. Turn to Mark 11 and verse 23. It's on the screen now. New King James says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Mountains symbolize immovable things. That's what mountains symbolize, that which cannot be moved. There's incredible stories in the early years of Christianity. I'm trying to remember this. One comes to mind, and I'm sorry I don't do a better job. I didn't remember it till right now, where there was persecution taking place, and they basically said to this man, if that mountain doesn't move, then you're going to die and your whole family's going to die. And so he got on his knees and he said, give me 24 hours. And he prayed and he cried out to God. There was an earthquake and the mountain moved. And they said, oh, I guess your God can move mountains. Come on, somebody say, God can move mountains. He can literally move real mountains. He can move things that are blocking you. But mountains don't have ears and neither do bones. It's faith. Faith changes things. Faith changes things. Confident assurance of what you cannot see. God created the worlds when he spoke. So God wants to use you as a vessel. Some of you have lined your mouth up with the enemy, and you wonder why you just have all this confusion and difficulty. Start speaking life. Start speaking truth. Your tongue is a rudder of your life. Oh, the tongue. Who can tame it, says James. Your speech. You're the prophet over your own life. What does God get? Oh, you don't know what I've come through. Well, if you say so, I can't do it. You're right again. That's not what God's word says. You want to spout lies, partner with the devil. Go ahead. When you're lying, you're partnering with him. He's the father of lies. When he's lies, he speaks his native language. So if you want to speak devilese, go ahead and lie. Go ahead and speak and line your life up with, you don't know what I've come through. You don't know. I don't mean to mock you. I'm just telling the power of the resurrection can transform your life if you'll apply it, if you'll speak to the dead stuff and command it to live. My marriage is blessed. Even when you're cats and dogs, you're living in two different corners of the house. Seen people, one of the Hergelots, they had divorce papers. I think they were signed too. They were signed, just never turned them in. Well, look at that. Looky, looky, sugar cookie. Over the marriage ministry. I've found oftentimes the difficulties that we find ourselves in are many times that which we've even been called to. And one of the difficulties they had was marriage. These guys fought like cats and dogs, and now they're heading up our marriage ministry. Who could do that? Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Release living understanding, God, to us. We prophesy to the breath. We begin to bring application here. Babylon is full of despair, which I told you is a message of hope, and I bring a message of hope to you and to America on this special Sunday before our prophetic conference, our power conference. Ezekiel 36, 25 says, I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Man, that really made sense to me when I first gave my life to Christ, because I wanted a new heart. I needed the new one. My other one had been thrashed, trashed, defiled, broken, dark, hopeless. God saved me and he took out that heart of stone. Put a new heart in us. I believe that we're to prophesy to the breath. Now, that's a picture, New Testament application. Again, there's no dual covenant. There's only one covenant. So Israel is under the same covenant that we have, although Israel is clearly God's chosen, precious people. But we're grafted in as Gentiles. Some of you are Jews that have become believers. But we're all grafted in. Does that make sense? Another message, but it's important. What's fascinating to me is that when you look at this prophecy in terms of Israel, it's come to pass as I stood on Masada and saw it. You can go there today and see the prophecies come to pass. But how does that apply now? Prophecies always multifaceted. It's law of first reference. That would be the first reference of what is talking to the people in Babylon. But then it was beyond that. And God did bring them out of Babylon. But then they were scattered and diaspora and all of that. It's still a picture of them returning, Israel, becoming a nation in a day. It's a prophecy to the church. There's a lot of churches that are dead. I pray we never become that. Oh, but the enemy would love for us just to become a bunch of religious people. Religion and tradition are the two twin sisters from hell that will never help you. We have power. We're to prophesy to the church that'll live. I speak life over this place. He said, are you kidding me? This place is on fire. There's a whole nother level that God wants to bring us to. There's a whole nother level in God that we have never been there. We have never been to. Come on, lift your hands one more time and call on his name. There's another level. There's another level in God. There's another level. All he'll do is very best to try to reduce us to a one-hour service where we go home twice as dead as when we came in. But that's not what God's plan in. God's plan is to bring life upon the church and not just here, the body of Christ. And I'm so grateful for whatever level of power and presence there is here. I just know that there's more. And I also know that there are plenty of dead churches here, even in the valley. Even in this valley is full of dry bones. Oh, there's some that are on fire. I mean, I'm not the measuring rod of what fire is, but he is. And I've been to plenty of dead churches. Usually there's no young people, there's no freedom, there's no joy. There's gossip, strife. Got to prophesy to the church. But the church in America needs to wake up. It's been dry bones. I prophesy to the church. In the United States of America, come alive. I pray, Holy Spirit, invade pulpits across the land. Breathe life. Break strife. We prophesy to the dead bones of the church to come alive. There'd be a new sound, a rattling. Bring breath. Bring freedom. Corporately as a church, but individually, what's dead in your life? What's dead in your life? What, when you survey your life, you walk up and down the halls of your life and answer the question, what's dead? The Lord showed us some things recently, the Bracken home. I've been throttling that thing with the word of the Lord for months now, and it's changed. Changed. Shifted. It's amazing. I've been serving God for, I don't know, how long? Long time. Maybe not as long as some, maybe a little bit longer than others, 30 years. And I'm thinking, how is it that this thing has just lingered? Simple. I didn't speak to it and cause it to come. I didn't speak to the dry bones, break that thing and declare it to come alive and then set my life up and structure my life so it would come to life. What's in your life? Now, let's not talk about me anymore. Let's talk about you. What do you got? What's broken in your life? What is it in your life that are dry bones? What is it that's dead, very long, dry, maybe hopeless? I'm preaching better than you're amening today. Oh, to speak to dry bones, live. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, live. Let's prophesy to the things that are dead in our lives. What is it? Is it your marriage? Is it your relationship? Is it your money? What is it? Is it your emotions? Are you in despair? Your health? This is going to sting a little bit, but Pastor Karen will fix it later if it needs to be fixed. I was in meetings not long ago, not here, and I had this lady come, and she was struggling with diabetes, type 2 diabetes. And she said, would you pray for me? I said, sure. I need to be healed of diabetes. I said, okay, I will. How's your nutrition? What do you mean? Well, let me just ask you, why would God give you new lungs if you have emphysema and you smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day? Let me just ask you that. Not feeling the love, going over here, gonna feel the love over here. Why, if you're just horking everything in front of you, why would God heal you of diabetes when you can't control yourself? Not feeling the love over here either, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, going over here. Oh, I remember a preacher coming and preaching on gluttony at Thanksgiving. At Thanksgiving, the guy did it at Thanksgiving, and I remember what my mother said, nice, nice. We were leaving from the service, he goes, nice, right at Thanksgiving, gluttony, Jesus. So I said to the lady, I said, I'm gonna pray for you, and I'm gonna pray that you control yourself and start eating what's healthy for you. I got a good amen from the, what's up? I feel it right here, I feel the love right here. I know what's up with you all, y'all being convicted or something. Dry bones. What do you have in your life? What do you have in your life that's dead? Don't ignore it. It's like the man with the withered hand. Stretch forth your hand. No problem. Your other hand. Which other one? The withered one. Oh, that? Why didn't he stretch it forth? Because he's withered. And Jesus said, stretch it forth, and he does a miracle. It's one of the first miracles he does. It's right in the synagogue, right in the church. All right, what's dead? God has given us power to restore, to revive, and to resurrect stuff. Holy Spirit, come. That destructive behavior that you have, the addiction you're battling, and narcissistic tendencies that you have. You gotta live in hope, believing that God will do miracles for you and fulfill his purpose through us. That's what God wants to do.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.